right. I'm curious to know what a lot of these guys on the Falcons 53-man roster have on their playlist, aside from Kirk Cousins. But I would think, I don't know, what would you think Bijan and Tyler Algier and Avery Williams and Jace McClellan might, what might they be bumping to?
Jeezy? I don't know. I'm not the person to ask this, obviously.
No.
I think the Dylons of the world are probably more equipped to answer that. But
they're all listening to Drake.
Come on, bro.
Can't confirm.
This man out here.
All right, well, we flip to the other side of the ball. Are you going to anticipate defense having more, less vibey music and more I'm going to take your head off style music?
Well, I hope my linebackers ain't vibing with the license plate rattler. I hope they've got something that's going to hit you in the mouth.
Yeah, I would say louder vibey music. For the defense, it's always louder. They listen to music louder than offensive players, in my opinion.
I need some little John Eastside boys for the defense.
I'm sure some of your DBs have that.
Good.
We go to the safeties. You got Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Richie Grant, and Micah Abernathy.
You know, Micah Abernathy is an interesting one because he's a good player. But
I don't think either one of us said Micah Abernathy.
But you don't.
You
think,
did not.
I didn't have him. I had Antonio Hamilton Sr. and Kevin King on the roster, kind of filling those voids, honestly. And I know Hamilton made it as a cornerback, and he's going to play in that nickel. But Hamilton and Kevin King are two guys that can kind of play everywhere, including like that dime linebacker spot when they want to do that. That's a look that they've shown in practice that, you know, Arch has talked about and we've talked about, Mike. To me, I wonder, though, if Antonio Hamilton Sr. kind of took a spot from Kevin King as far as that they only wanted to have one of the versatile guys and everybody else, they wanted to have a design role.
Yeah, probably. And I think that Kevin King, look, I think that you'll probably try to put Kevin King on P-Squad, and I think you probably want him to just have more reps at the safety spot. It was the first thing Bo and I noticed when we went out to practice day one. Kevin King was signed as a corner. He was given basically nothing. It felt like a favor by Jimmy Lake to say, hey, well, we'd love to have you in training camp. And the first thing you notice is he's playing safety. I mean, the first day he's out there playing safety, and it's like, all right, working on position flexibility for Kevin King. And yet, as you move along and he plays multiple positions, you feel good about that and kind of his spot in the secondary. I think eventually that's probably a guy you'd love to get back in the mix. But I think it sounds like to me one of those issues where, hey, we'd love to see more reps of you being able to do this. So maybe we get you through to the P-Squad. You get safety reps on P-Squad and you go from that direction.
Can I say a name that I think is a really good player that got cut, but I hope we'll make it back on the practice squad out of the secondary? That's Jaden Price. Young kid out of North Dakota State. I think he's a guy that showed range to kind of do some of that stuff too. Good player. Got cut. I think he'll be back on the practice squad, hopefully, with Kevin King, to your point. And Natron Brooks. I don't know how many DBs you can keep. You got 16 spots, but those are three guys that I really, really like.
No, and you knew the direction I was going with that. Kevin King was yours. Natron Brooks was mine. I mean, Natron Brooks was a guy to me. Shows up, he's the defensive player, or he's the player of the game there in week number two of the preseason. I thought he flew around and played exceptional football. I mean, he looked like an NFL starting corner in that week two of that preseason. Now, you ask yourself, you know, who is he playing against and all the other stuff. But really, it wasn't the coverage skills. It was the recognition of how they were attacking him and flying up on speed screens and being a physical, sure tackler, even in the flat, even on running backs. So I thought there would be a spot for Natron Brooks. I didn't know who exactly you'd move, but I kind of had Micah Abernathy out of that slot. I'm still not sure that won't be the case at some point, but like I said, I mean, this is kind of what you've been dealt with the first week, and you want to see more of those reps down the road.
Corner-wise, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, Clark Phillips, and Antonio Hamilton Sr.
Yeah, there's no surprises there.
That's,
I think,
gonna say, it's pretty standard operating procedure, what you would expect.
It absolutely is, Tiff. I think A.J. and Hughes are going to be outside guys. I think D. Alford, you're starting nickel, and I think Hamilton will back him up while Clark Phillips is your swing DB, swing cornerback, if I may. And I think that's good. I think real quick, DeMarco Helms was put on the IR designated return, and I mentioned that because, you know, Mike, me and you speculated more than me because you have been out there and unfortunately suffered some setbacks injury wise, and you thought,
yeah,
you had a kind of a thought on what it might be.
Yeah, I I think it the timeline, the reaction to the original injury, which was Aircast and Cart, mixed with the timeline of the injury and the IR situation, to me, it feels like probably a fibula, and you don't ever want to speculate. But it is like, if anybody remembers the Terrell Owens situation, he gets hurt at the, kind of the end of the year. And 6 weeks later, he's able to play in the Super Bowl. Not fully healthy, but he was cleared, and he goes off in the Super Bowl. I don't remember how many yards he had, but he had a good Super Bowl run. That seems like, to me, what you may be dealing with. A non-displaced fibula kind of thing, which is just a very, very, very severe version of the high ankle sprain. But nonetheless, that kind of opens the door for your return at some point.
And for the record, that happened, I think, on, was it the 8th or the 9th or something like that of August? We're now the 28th. So that was 20 days ago.
It was during the Miami game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't remember if that was the 8th or the 9th. I think it might have been the 7th, but it was somewhere around. No, it was the 9th. It was the 9th because Zach Bryan was the 10th, and that was a Saturday. So it was the 9th. So that's been almost 20 days from now. So he would be basically back in October, I think, or could possibly start working his way back and maybe have that 2 week span to practice. Maybe beginning of October. Maybe if that's the case, hopefully in October.
Can I shift gears and go to offense?
Yeah, sure.
And we can talk tight ends and Kyle Pitts, because that's someone's name that is often brought up because there are some lofty expectations on him this season. I did see in NFL.com bold predictions that they predict the headline, Kyle Pitts, to have a massive year.
No, Tev, you're mistaken. That was a morning shift big headline. It was breaking news on the morning shift.
I think
Mike
I
and
said
Bo
he
predict.
Would take the league by storm.
Yeah, and I said
so
something.
So they stole it from you and then put it into, that's it, yes.
Yeah,
that's
right. And listen, and look, we talked about this a number of times throughout training camp. Nobody was maybe harder on Kyle Pitts than me. But we got a chance to visit with him a couple weeks ago, and really, it's just been a new person. He's been a new person. I asked him, you know, in our interview with him, I asked him first and foremost, it's like, you're a dad now. You're still a really young player. I mean, lots been made about the fact that he's younger than Michael Penix, and he's going into year four, but he's fully healthy. He just looks different. He looks like he has a pep in his step. We also asked him about, you know, what his feeling was when Kirk Cousins signed, and he lit up, man. It's like funny. You can get so much more of a reaction to those guys' facial expressions in person when you're talking to them, and Kyle Pitts was one of those guys that just lit up, and he seems excited about the year to come, so it's not shocking to me that all the prognosticators out there, Tiff, and the fantasy gurus are like, Kyle Pitts, worth a look.
Yeah, he had a great camp, and he looked like Kyle Pitts from 2021. He carried himself with the excitement he had to be out there, like a veteran version of that 21 player that we saw as a rookie. Because, I mean, well, look, he's got two guys that I think can both get him the ball whenever he needs. And I think there's excitement on the prove that he's that guy that we thought he is who we thought he was.
A lot to be said about that.
All right, still to come here on the morning shift. Your Braves, are you still cautiously optimistic?
Offensively,
has that changed after?
Nope.
Why not?
Because I need a string of offensive, just games where you get hits when they're needed. We're 8 out of 10, but I will say that 8 out of 10 pitching was very dominant. Starting pitching was very dominant in most of those games.
All right.
Don't be Chicken Little, man.
Well, see if you can lift your spirits up after the break. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.